I can't tell if it...
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored, I tell you, to share the microphone with the most interesting entrepreneurs, authors and speakers, solopreneurs, work-at-home moms, just anyone who has a wonderful story to share and who these people are really excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I'm really excited. I'm chatting with the leader in consciousness training, Kelly Eli. At her core, Kelly is a researcher, and her passion is spiritual consciousness, the power which ignites and fuels all of our outcomes. She has devoted her life to finding the tools that produce measurable and consistent results, and this has given her clients lasting change and the grounded certainty that they seek. Excuse me, I will apologize. I'm a little raspy today. I'm in southwest Louisiana, and we're having hurricane weather, which means that we will run from hot to cold in the space of about 10 minutes, and my body is just kind of having a fit. So to get back to Kelly, at 15, she set out to find out why people only use 10% of their potential. Doesn't that scare you? 10%. With degrees in biochemistry, physiology, and energy medicine, she's applied a scientific mindset to consciousness and energy studies for about 30 years. And with over 15 years' experience in private practice, she now teaches individuals how to leverage the innate powers within their consciousness field to clear, heal, and elevate their energy. I have to tell you, this is a big topic with me. I'm really excited. Her specialty is the application of spiritual principles to create immediate energetic results. And now she speaks nationwide on what she's discovered about human consciousness and how to work with the divine to more easily receive your dreams on earth. Kelly, I'm excited to have you here. And by the way, everybody, be sure to join us in the chat room as we're broadcasting live right now. And you will also be able to download the episode or find us in iTunes once the interview is entered. Kelly, good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio.
Good morning, Denise, and thank you for having me. And I just want to also thank you for all of the people that you're reaching, because I'm sure they don't always have the time or the opportunity to show their gratitude for what you're doing by inviting all of us to share. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The truth is, I probably get more out of this than the audience, because each week I get to meet the darndest people. And that's a sudden darndest people. It's like I get to meet people that I would never in the course of my regular day meet or converse with or learn from. So truly, it's a blessing to do this show every Friday, and I really enjoy it. But thank you. I really appreciate that. So tell, what did I miss? Tell our audience a bit about yourself and your journey to get where you are today. From what I can tell and from conversations we've had in the past, it's a fascinating story.
Just when I was 15, we started learning about the brain, and I just was fascinated that we only use 7 to 10% of it, and I just thought, well, you know, why would we be given a brain and not be able to use it? But at the same time, I was also very interested in, you know, metaphysical topics, and that there was more potential, you know, through us, and certainly through theology of all religions. They always say that, you know, there's more to us, and that we're really blessed beings. So I just thought, well, gosh, maybe if I learned how to use the brain better, I could, you know, see what potential was within me. But then I started to realize as I was preparing to have a degree in neurology that actually the brain isn't the same as the mind. And see, I had thought that the mind, our consciousness, was limited to the brain. So when I realized that the brain is more like your laptop, and your consciousness is like the internet, you could see that just learning to use your laptop doesn't necessarily mean anything about the internet. Yes?
You just spoke to my inner nerd.
I love
it. That so well. I am a stiletto wearing nerd. Trust me on this. I have an invisible.
Oh, that's why I adore you.
You're speaking my language.
So, granted, your laptop can, you know, help with your access to some of the internet, but it doesn't necessarily control the internet or, you know, have the full power over the internet. And so when we start to realize that our consciousness actually is beyond our brain, it opens up a lot of access. And so we have to kind of step back and say, hey, maybe there's something different here going on than, you know, common assumptions. Because technically when we're raised, we basically, there's like a direct psychic communication between infants and their caretakers. And so the whole point is to survive. And so we act on instincts and we really absorb all that consciousness of the dominant people around us. Because for an infant, that means that kind of consciousness is how we survive. And so we acquire it really quickly because the goal is to survive. And so literally the subconscious mind creates this huge network of information for us about survival before we even start to use language. And that's really a huge reservoir, a storehouse, and a lot of power. And so when I work with clients, I really tap into that because a lot, there's sometimes some erroneous assumptions in there, you know, like maybe your mom had a red stove and you went to reach up and touch the stove and she screamed at you. So now you've associated, you know, women scream at me when I wear the color red, you know, because you're looking at red, right? It's kind of an association of a memory. And so, you know, today's topic of talking about breaking free of the fear of success is that fear comes from that subconscious mind. And it's not just fear. There's actually a lot of data there. And if we can open people up to being willing to approach fear more as information rather than something to be rejected or suppressed or coded over, you know, with a positive affirmation, we actually can harvest the power that's in our subconscious mind to actually empower our goals.
I love that you just said coat it over, because I think that that's something, it's like applying a bandage to a hemorrhage. I don't think it's real smart to do that. But we're all guilty of it. I mean, I know I have tried to kind of go into my subconscious on occasion and go, all right, I want to defrag. I want this. I want to. But I have learned, and I don't know if this was just an accidental thing, but I learned this at very, very early age, that I can turn deliberately to my subconscious, and I do this almost every night before I go to sleep. I may have a sticky problem or something that's just kind of worrying me a bit that my conscious mind is not coming up with the immediate answer that I want because I'm kind of cranky that way. And, I, you know, when I'm saying my prayers or talking to my spirits, whatever I'm going to do before I go to sleep, I will take that particular problem or issue or concern and I will deliberately turn it over to my subconscious for review. And Kelly, I always get an answer without fail. Mm-hmm. And I've done this for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't even know why I started doing that. I think it was just instinct. I have no clue why I started doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if we could talk about the three minds a minute. This might help some of the listeners catch up to where you and I are at, because I think we jumped right into the topic pretty fast. But
I
know that's
that
one nerd to the other.
What I know, you know, just one of those things. Well, can we table that for just a second, because I wanted and I do want to come back to that. First of all, I want you to tell our audience, what is a consciousness coach? I don't think that's a term that's in widespread use, is it?
No, it's definitely not widespread. And I have a funny story just to tell you to start with it, because I remember going to a stock trading seminar, because I used to love to watch stock markets because they indicate human consciousness. But now it's mostly, you know, computers and stuff, so there's still some human element of it. But I remember going to this seminar and this one gentleman said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a consciousness coach. And he goes, oh, that's interesting. And then finally, 5 minutes later, he comes over and he goes, you know, I grew up on a farm. And so the cow was either conscious or the cow was unconscious. I don't understand how you have to coach that. I laughed so hard. I was like, yeah, that's pretty much where most people are. So actually, consciousness coaching is all about self-awareness, and all this research I've done, you know, for 30 years of studying the field of consciousness and how consciousness interfaces with the body, how consciousness, our consciousness interfaces with the consciousness of other people, and also how our human consciousness relates to the super consciousness, you know, that of the creator. And so there's actually different flavors, and there's different messaging, and there's different qualities of consciousness. And most of us just think it's one big soup. And actually, until you know differently, it isn't one big soup. Almost like if you've never had a course in anatomy, you could just look at somebody's body and just think it's one big soup, you know, just one body. It's like, no, there's a lot of organs going on. There's a lot of functions going on. And so it's really kind of bringing a lens of differentiation to consciousness so that you can use it appropriately. And that's one of the things that I like to use the word righteousness, and I know that that's been really misused and abused. It's actually right useness, meaning you have a certain power or ability and you use it properly. You know, like there's an appropriate way to use a spoon. You know, there's an appropriate use for your kitchen appliances, right? So you use them in righteousness. And so your consciousness, too, there's different aspects of your consciousness that have certain powers to bring to you, to support you, to have you thrive. You're here to thrive. But if you don't understand how to use your own consciousness for you, it kind of works against you because it's you just don't understand how to use it in its rightful way. So that's what I do, is I coach people with that.
Right, right. Are there some steps that you can take people? Let's just go and say that we've got beginners on it. They're like, I'm aware of most things, but I'm not really aware of the things that you're talking about. Are there some steps or exercises that people can kind of, you know, walk through to raise their own particular consciousness level? I like to think I'm a highly evolved person until about 4:30, and then I go, maybe not. You know? Let me stand back and reevaluate this.
Well, yeah, let me just describe the three selves or the three levels of consciousness that we have within ourselves. And I think everybody will recognize these qualities. And once you distinguish that they're unique into three different minds or three different selves, that goes a long way to understanding when we might be shifting to a different engine. You can almost think of them as like three different engines of consciousness within you. So most people know the conscious mind. So that's right behind your eyes, the part that's kind of, you know, looking out at the world, the part of you that's deciding what to do, what to wear today, you know, the part of you that says, oh, yes, I've got to get this done today. You know, the decision maker, the logical, rational part of you, the part of you that says, I control, I do, I decide. Does that make sense? So most people feel like, okay, that's who I am.
It does, but what I have found out, and this is probably for a different conversation, is that I have kind of two voices going on in my head. And audience, please don't leave. I'm not nuts. But I do have...
No, you're not.
I say that. Let me think about that. But, you know, I tend to have these... We all do. We have these conversations going in our head. Am I going to wear blue? Am I going to wear green? You know, am I going to feed the cat right now? Or am I going to scoop litter? I mean, you're right. But then there's this... I will have these decisions going on in my head because we're always thinking a mile a minute. But what I have found, Kelly, and again, this may be another conversation, is that when I hear I am going to do that, that's my logical conscious mind at work. If I hear we need to do this, that's not my ego talking anymore. That's help. That's help coming in from somewhere. And I identify that as my subconscious or even my spirit guides or whatever you want to call them, whatever you believe in. But I pay close attention to how I'm speaking to myself. Is it I or is it we? So, again, it may be another conversation, but see if that made any sense to you.
Oh, I'll definitely touch on that because that's a really great distinction and an important point of what I want to share with you. So, yeah, you have your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind, I want you to think of it as your body. And it's the ability to move. It's the part of you that actually gets stuff done. It's also recording everything that happens to you. It's like a constant video program of everything going on. It's your emotions. It's your feelings. It's your physical energy. So when you feel tired, it's because your subconscious mind is tired. It actually is distributed throughout the body. And so, yes, it has your full memory bank. So sometimes when you're like, should I wear blue? And then immediately you're like, oh, the last time I wore this dress, I forgot that I have a stain on the back that I didn't take care of it. That's your subconscious mind helping you out, going, oh, yeah, I forgot that, you know. Now, your super conscious mind is that spiritual aspect that you talked about. And the spiritual aspect is the part, it's almost like an inner parent. It's always trying to give you a win. It's always trying to provide for you. It's always trying to soothe you, provide protection, resources, flashes of insight, guidance. And so what you just described about, I'm going to do this, and then when you said, we're going to do this, that's a really great sign that all three of yourselves are communicating together like we're a team. We're going to do this together. That's a really good sign, actually, because
so
what
I'm not nervous.
I work with in the... No.
Today, anyway.
I even sometimes say to my friends, oh, we're going to do this. And they're like, is that you and me we or you we?
Right. The like, royal we.
That's my own personal we.
Yes, yes, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's good because then you have internal communication. You have internal consistency. And that means all three aspects of you are pointed in the same direction. That gives huge integrity to your actions. It gives huge power with all of those engines pointing in the same direction. Allows you to be, things to go faster for you. Have you ever noticed that you start on a project and say, oh, we're going to do this, and it's done in maybe a third of the time of what you would have expected?
And not only
right.
that, but I can look up at the clock and find out that the day actually kind of slowed down. I've got much more time than I thought I was going to need. It's an odd sensation. It's like, oh, that was really great. But, you know, it was 2 o'clock
yeah.
when I started, and it's still practically 2 o'clock. I have those days all the time. And then I have
yeah.
other days
yeah.
where I'm like, oh, crud, where did it go? And those are the days where
right.
I know I'm a little bit out of kilter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the voice is in the head. Sometimes we have arguments, yes?
I'm sorry. I'm back to am I next? No, really.
Yeah.
But listen, I have learned through, you know, good times and hard times, if I don't pay attention to those voices or the tense that I'm speaking to, in, you know, me, we, I,
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
are going to go sideways very quickly if I don't pay close attention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's important, and that's the point of what the coaching I do is raising that awareness, because our society says look outside of yourself, whereas actually all the power for you to actually do what you want to do or be as successful as you want is within yourself. So actually what's going on in your own consciousness field is a lot more important than what anybody else is saying outside of you. And so getting yourself to have your own back, you know, to support yourself, to cheerlead yourself, is really, really important.
And
that,
that
subconscious mind.
Go ahead, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that subconscious mind is like a little child. It's like a little three-year-old. And when you think about the three-year-old aspect of yourself is running your body, keeping you healthy, giving you all the energy to get through your day. It's constantly recording and providing information. It's just like a little servant. But when you think it has the sensitivity of a little three-year-old child and how cruel we can be sometimes to ourselves, you know, gosh, dummy, why did you do that?
Right.
You know, it's like, well,
right.
you know, how about you give her a little like, hey, good job, let's try again. You know? So
I have learned that, and this again is something I have to be very, very aware of. And ask, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we we're our own worst critics? Yes.
Yes.
And it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a conversation with myself one day because you do this, oh, I don't feel good, or oh, you don't look good today. And you're talking to yourself. You know, we have these high expectations of what we're supposed to look like. And or, you know, oh, man, you put on 5 pounds. Really? And you just beat yourself up over stupid things. And it occurred to me one day, just kind of out of the blue, that if I spoke to anyone else the way that I speak to me, they would knock the crap out of me and I'd have to let them. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention the embarrassment. You know? Really? Because there's times when we're not at our best and later we're like, gosh, you know, I really wasn't at my best. Please forgive me, right? But yeah, we do that inside our own head. And so if we're fighting our own subconscious mind, you can see how your own subconscious mind wouldn't even want to come to your aid. And sometimes it'll punish you and it'll leave you hanging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that? Are there steps that people, first of all, I think they have to be conscious that they're, you know, just indulging in really ugly self-talk. And you know, what do you do after that? Once you have identified that you're just making a big whopper right there, right now, what do you do, Kelly? Are there exercises people can take? Do they do the rubber band on the wrist thing? What can people do?
Well, I don't like the rubber band on the wrist because then you're punishing your basic self. You're punishing the infant, you know, the young child. Mm-hmm. So I don't like
that as a
learning tool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get a better results out of loving a child than punishing a child. I mean, you'll get results from punishing a child, but you'll get a lot of resentment, too. And then the child will wait till it has its chance to get back at you. And you don't want that. You want trust. And so I used to have awful self-doubt because I really thought that, you know, discipline and forcing myself to do something was the way to get results. And as I started to learn this, I realized I had really bad self-talk. And so what I did to break that habit, because it is a habit, is I started to say, I'd catch myself if I got down on myself or was talking harshly to myself. I would turn around and I'd say, the good news is, and I had to say something nice about myself.
Right.
The good news is, we're addressing this. The good news is, this is changing. And I just kind of put myself through a trial of doing that. And then I was able to catch myself and start to then praise myself and say, and basic self, the way I talk to the little child, basic self, you're doing the best job you can right now, and I've got your back. And if you just can say, I've got your back, it means so much to a kid. Just think of how a kid, you know, if they're getting bullied on the playground, but then the big brother comes and stands behind the child, how they puff out their chest and they're like, now try and hit me, you know.
Right.
That's how your subconscious mind responds when you as the conscious self, you as the adult, stand beside yourself. You stand as a unified being. And you really need that.
Yeah. I hadn't looked at it like that. But I'm very guilty of doing what you're talking about. You know, discipline, I can do this. Denise, dang it, why didn't you do that? And then I just go down this whole, just go through this whole cycle of, you know, I could have done it, but I'll do it tomorrow. And then I'm just madder. I mean, I was already mad as a smashed cat, and that just makes it worse. So, I mean, seriously. I've got to find a better way to do these things.
Well, given your question a little while ago when you talked about how a person could also do that, you know, that I just gave you one example, but from your example, when we talk of like fear or these, because fear actually can show up as a distraction, like what you just said, procrastination or a distraction.
Right.
That can be fear. And that's a message from your subconscious mind that...
I did not know that.
Yeah, because you're think of you've been critical. Just to give you an example from years ago, you were critical of your basic self, and so you got this little child that really wants to impress you, but it already feels like it's in the doghouse, and so it really doesn't want to show you that it's feeling fear about moving forward on a project or something. So what it's going to do is to try to get your attention to go somewhere else so you forget about the goal.
Misdirection.
Misdirection, yes. So actually procrastination, yeah. Procrastination and distractions, as well as sometimes inability to make a decision. All of those can be your subconscious mind kind of getting back at you through fear. It's sort of another message of fear.
Wow.
And what it's really saying is, I don't have enough information to support you the way I need to. So just think about a little kid who you just said, you know what, I needed to do geometry now. And the little kid's only had, you know, fourth grade math. You know, that's a kind of a big expectation to put on the little kid, right? And it wants to please you, but how am I going to do that? I don't know how I'm going to do that. And then I don't want her to not love me, you know, because we want the approval. That subconscious mind wants your approval and your love. It doesn't want you to get mad at it. So I'll try to make a distraction. Well, the secret of the stuff I teach is that you can actually get direct consciousness from your superconscious mind into the subconscious mind directly without you as a conscious self knowing about it. And that's where we start to get into
brilliance.
Now you have
to tell me. Okay, the rest of the show, heck with it. I need to know how to do that. I mean, I'm a highly disciplined person, I think. But I think my expectations are way, way too high of myself. And then I do procrastinate, and then I do get irritable, and then I do go out and kick a rock. I mean, it's just kind of this round robin, and it's not good. I mean, it's just really not good.
Yeah.
And I know it, I recognize it, but I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I get a lot done, don't get me wrong, but I don't get as much done as I think I can or would like to, and I get very cranky about that. But
well,
maybe
for
I should be cranky. Tell me what. just tell me what to do, and I'll do it.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'll give you some tips here on the call, but that's the one why people work with me, because we actually can train your consciousness field to operate at a higher level of consciousness. But the first thing to do is to talk to the basic self and say, "What do you need?" And literally, you know, like if you're going to sit down with a child, so, you know, we might have a lot of single moms out there, and you're raising a child, and you know that you have to be a team, right? You know, you might be, say, a home working mom, and so, you know, you sit the kid down and say, you know, I've got to be on the computer for an hour. Would you be willing to play quietly while I get this done, and then we can go do something together? So part of it is kind of engaging the mind in a negotiation. A negotiation. And literally, you may feel stuck in your body. You know, you're feeling resentment. Resentment is a big flag when you're resenting what you have to do. That's your inner child, that basic self, really like, I'm going to have to do this, and I'm not going to want to do it. It's going to make me not feel good. And so listening to that is a really, you know, big flag right there, and being willing to talk to the subconscious mind. So you have a little conversation with yourself. What do I need right now? And just get quiet and listen in your body. And maybe you just hear, I just want to go for a walk. And so fill your tank first. And this is one of my big tenets, is you've got to fill your tanks first. So the conscious mind just thinks that it has no capacity for energy or whatever. It just sets goals. And so the conscious self wants it done now. But the energy for that goal comes from the basic self, that child. So if you take a moment to say, you know, what do we need? Well, you know what, I really need a walk. Okay. You know, we're going to go for a walk. And you might be surprised that as you walk, you're, you know, not really indulging, but you're comforting your basic self and giving it the opportunity to kind of enjoy some nature, maybe loosen up the body, maybe just stop pressuring it. You know, sometimes getting the pressure off is enough. And then the superconscious mind can start to give it support and also inspire you. I know when I go on a walk, I come back with so many ideas, I can't wait to get to the computer to start writing, because then the flow comes back. So if you can find out what you need, give it to yourself, then the flow will start again.
I've never heard it explained quite like that, but I do know what you're talking about because I do largely the same thing. I find, and go figure, the minute I jump in the shower, my brain just goes, woohoo, brain dump, and I don't have a piece of paper. It is not unusual for me to run screaming naked across the house, dripping water all the way to write something down, and then go jump back in the shower. I've got to find a better method, but I know what you're talking about. There's a visual for the audience. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I actually worked with a coach who does videos like that, where she's in a shower cap. And she goes, today's flash of insight from the shower is...
It never fails, I'm telling you. It's just like, oh, really? But I don't know what it is about water, bathtub, shower. It's just amazing. But I have found that if I just walk off, and I'm not making a conscious decision to do it, so I'm going to pay more attention to that. If I just walk off, I'll go outside with my dog, Abby Rose, and watch her chase squirrels. She has never caught one, but it's still entertaining. And I can come back in and say, hey, breathing. Okay, let me start over. But I really love the way you explained that, so thank you for that.
Yeah, even, you know, self-care could just be just sitting quietly and breathing. It could be just laying down for 20 minutes. And I like to listen to, you know, some of those online radio shows where they have like spa music, or they have a collection of, you know, kind of easy listening music that just makes me feel like I'm in a spa. I'll just put on that music for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And it will, you know, fill my tank. Sometimes food. You know, as entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, you know, we have a high level of performance, a high level of drive. And when we're focused in the conscious mind, we can burn up a ton of glucose because our nervous system only functions on glucose. And we will suck out all of the blood glucose so fast that it's almost like the body's in a starvation mode. And then when you finish the project, your body is in cortisol mode, which is fight or flight. The body is in massive stress. And we can kind of collapse. You know, you talked about the 4:30 crash.
Right.
So what I do is I sometimes have to set an alarm on busy days to make sure I take care of my basic self, because my basic self needs food. And it's the one providing me the energy. So I need to make the decision to feed myself on a regular basis. And usually I'm not hungry, but I will make myself eat something every 3 hours, you know, not a full meal, but at least something to make sure that my basic self has her tank filled so she can continue to deliver for me.
Mm-hmm. And see, with me, it's water. I mean, I love water. It's my all-time favorite beverage. And I have it all over the house. I mean, you cannot go anywhere and not find a bottle of water somewhere. I mean, but I'm constantly, if I find that I'm tired or I'm getting headachy, I'll realize that my big glass of water, my big bottle of water is sitting there untouched because I was in the zone. And all of a sudden my body goes, hello, you're thirsty. You're not tired.
Yeah.
You're thirsty.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay.
Hydration is a
sense.
Big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. And too many people don't understand that, I don't think. You'll never see canned soda or even sweet tea in my house. It's just nasty stuff. I don't drink it. Okay, so... That's just my personal thought there. Okay, so we've already kind of covered... Well, I want to go back to fear of success. We've mentioned it a couple of times. And, you know, honestly, we've all heard that term. We've even applied it to ourselves on occasion. What the heck is that all about?
It's the conscious self has an idea, you know, a goal. Maybe it sees somebody else achieving something similar. And, wow, I want to have that too. So that's great. That's the function of your conscious self, is to set the goal, to set the course and to decide, you know, captain of the ship kind of a thing. What your subconscious job, the basic self's job, is to do is to make it happen, meaning move you through time and space, take the necessary actions to realize that, to experience that, and, of course, get the rewards of it, right? But your subconscious mind, your basic self, is also trained that when you decide on a goal, it will go through the memory banks to look for something similar. And it will bring you that data. And so it'll bring all that information because it's meant to serve you. So it's going to say, hey, look at all this experience that we have to give you this foundation to move forward towards that goal. Which, if your goal is very similar to something that you've done into the past, it might be easy. You can easily go forward in that direction. But oftentimes, as we grow, our higher self, our spiritual aspect, starts to open our awareness that, hey, you have something bigger to give to the world. You know, something maybe beyond what you've seen in your family or what you've done before. And so that's new territory. And so the subconscious mind goes back to the history and say, uh-oh, we have no experience here. And so when this little three-year-old says that we've never done this before, we've never seen it before, it was never in our sphere, especially from the family which we grew up in, the basic self assumes that that means we have to die. I know it's completely irrational.
I had that day yesterday. It's like, oh, crap. I mean, all day long. You should see me. I was walking around doing face palms all day long. It's like, really, Denise? It was pathetic. I'm so glad we're having this
today. Yeah. And so I think sometimes people say fear is false evidence appearing real. Well, I kind of like it. This, I call it former experiences affecting my reality. Of course, I put the M in there, affecting reality. Former experiences affecting reality. So another aspect of fear is that you could have done something similar to this, and the basic self is bringing you the evidence from the past. Remember what bad things happened when we tried this before? She's not trying to stop you. She's just saying, what do we do with this information?
Right.
You know, because she's, in a way, your subconscious mind is trying to protect you from making a wrong move in the future. You know, the whole point is survival, right? And so if you take the time to listen to the fear, and so let's say you have a goal, Denise, and this trepidation, or maybe your heart pounds, or you're like, are you really doing a lot of procrastination with it? You just sit down with basic self.
That's always the one that just, I'm just like, you know what, I can do this, I know I can do this, I will do this, but I'm going to do it later. And then I go back to that mad as a smash cat thing. You know, it's just this round it's not working. So
yeah.
I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. So luckily you have enough self-awareness, and hopefully a lot of our listeners, I know, just because of whom you attract, have more awareness than, you know, average Joe on the street. But to just sit down with yourself and say, okay, here's the goal. This is what I want to do. Okay, what am I feeling? And literally, you might even feel it in your body. You know, maybe your heart gets heavy, or some people feel nausea, or their jaw gets real tight. Just kind of touch that place on your body, because there's consciousness there. And it's a feeling, and it's a feeling that your subconscious mind is suppressing because it's afraid to show you, you know, what it's feeling. And just say, gosh, okay, what am I feeling about this goal? And just be courageous to just own the feeling and to look at it, because there might be some really great wisdom in there. So here's an example. So let's say I'm starting a project and I'm going forward and I'm really trying, you know, a lot of procrastination. And so I sit down and I'm just going to think of an example of what I'm dealing with right now. And as I kind of feel my body, I can feel my chest get tight. So I'm just going to touch my chest. Okay, basic self, what's going on? And what she's saying is, you jump into agreements with people before you make sure that we're covered. Okay. Because sometimes the consciousness wants to go forward. I want to jump into this thing and this alliance, and I'm so excited about this project. But what I didn't do was make sure that I made very clear agreements that I'm not going to work on Saturday nights. You can't call me at 4 a.m. You know?
Yeah,
those kind of boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized, gosh, you know, I just assumed that's how I treat people. So in the past, sometimes I just assumed that people would treat me the way I would treat them. Well, that's not always the case. Sometimes you have to have a conversation. And so that would be what my little basic self is saying. I need you to have my back. And so if anyone could say, if you're feeling fear, I want you to look where you don't have your back. because the conscious self will throw itself into a goal and drag that basic self kicking and screaming and being punished. I mean, I'm sure we've all dealt with people who really weren't nice people to deal with, and we're like, gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd just spoken up. So, you know, your basic self needs to know you have her back before you go into the situation. And if you take the time to do that, the fear is going to kind of dissipate because your subconscious mind will know that, hey, we're together. We're a we.
Right.
We're in this together. I'm not going to abandon myself. And with this goal, even though we're facing the unknown, we are one. We are together. I've got my back. And basic self, if, you know, something comes on the horizon and we need to change direction, I've got your back and we will do this together. Just saying that to a child, you know, they're just going to pop up. Oh, that's all I needed to know. Right?
Right, right. And that does make sense. You said something, too, about, you know, touching the area that, you know, maybe where you're feeling the stress of me, it's my hip. I don't know why. I keep blaming it on the way I sit in my chair. I have three monitors, and I'm constantly bending probably in the wrong direction to see one of my monitors, but there's just no place else to put it. So I blame it on that. I know good and well it's stress. So, you know, I'm just fibbing to myself.
Which hip is it?
My right hip.
Your right hip has to do with empathy. And giving too much energy outside of yourself. And so what you might want to do is when it's starting to hurt, just sit back, put your hand there, take a deep breath, and just talk to the basic self and say, basic self, you don't have to give the energy today. Let's let the higher self do the energy work. And so your higher self's at your heart, and that's where you have unity consciousness with all other souls. That's where when you have the big days where things move really easily, that's when the higher self is really working through you, you know, that super consciousness. So what you can do is just comfort her and say you're trying to do the job of the higher self. You know, let's let that higher self take that and just imagine breathing that energy back up to the heart. Center yourself again. And then begin again.
Now, I have tried it kind of the opposite. Well, I've tried a couple of things. I've been taking a course on EFT tapping, which I am I'd heard about it, and I'd built websites for people that do it, and I never really kind of got it. And then all of a sudden, I came across Nick Ortner. You know, he had Facebook ads, and I went, okay, fine. You know, you get hit with a car often enough, you're going to go, don't stand in the street.
Yeah.
I kept getting hit with that particular Oldsmobile, so I said, okay, fine, I'm going to look into this thing. And I'm really enjoying it, but what I had done prior to that and still do, instead of breathing up, I will try to ground myself to the earth. When I'm having one of those days where I just want to bite nails, and they don't happen that often, so when they do happen, they startle me a good bit. I go outside barefoot, and I literally try to ground myself into the earth. I just send everything down into the earth and then try to breathe it back up, if that makes any sense at all. Mm-hmm. But it does help. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of you meeting the needs of that basic self, you know, and her feeling grounded, you know, up underneath her, you know. Because, you know, we think about, I used to have a dream, an anxiety dream of me walking on a bathroom floor with ice cubes on it. Just imagine how insecure you'd feel with, And I was like, okay, basic self was really insecure about this issue, you know. But, get the feet up, you know.
Right.
Get the ground underneath your feet. Very, very important. And EFT is a great methodology because our... within our subconscious mind is also the reptilian brain, which is that fight, flight, or freeze.
Oh, there you go. Okay. When you said reptilian, I was thinking, I just went, that's got to have something to do with cold. But I was wrong. So can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, the reptilian brain is really our very animalistic nature of you know, like little kids, an infant, if you have a loud noise, they frighten, right? And even animals, if you watch them, they have these instincts as soon, you know, to run as quickly as possible, right? So fight or flight, it's literally a neurochemical response in the body that's so fast that it floods the body with chemicals of adrenaline to protect itself. You know, like fear, we must run. We must protect ourselves. We must run, hide, or we fight, you know, go into aggression to protect our space, or some people freeze. You know, my response has always been kind of freeze rather than fight or I was a runner too as a kid. I think we all have our ways of dealing with fear. But right. The thing is that chemical response can be associated with a memory. So this is where, like, the interface of the body with consciousness. Remember I talked about the internet mm-hmm. with the computer? So what tapping does is it kind of breaks up the instinctual fear pattern so that then you can separate out the consciousness from the fear response. So, like I said, when you're little, you touch the stove and it's red, and your mom looks at you, and you burn your hand. So now you have pain, rejection, you know, mother rejected me, with the color red, okay, and the terror and the pain. And so what tapping allows you to do is to break up the instinctual fight or flight response you would have to either women raising their voices or the color red.
Well, it does seem to be helping me, and I don't know why I ignored it for so long. I was really resistant to it. And this is a big question for me that I probably am not going to answer anytime soon, but I tend to be very interested in the metaphysical, and, you know, I listen to a lot of things and study a lot of things that don't have to do with the physical body at all. Why I resisted mm-hmm. tapping is just beyond me. I don't know. There had to be a reason. I just don't know what it is.
It's the basic self. The fear is a tool of the basic self. It's how it survives. So remember how I told you that the basic self will distract you and keep you from going to something mm-hmm. that actually might help it if it thinks it's going to lose out? And so I would guess that your subconscious mind thought you were going to lose the protection that fear provides you. And what it does is it allows you to still have fear, still have the authentic, and granted, fear has good things. It keeps you protected, folks. You know, we don't want to, but
right.
the thing is we want it as, but we want it as a tool in a bigger toolbox of who you are with your higher consciousness. And so as you start to work with your higher consciousness and that starts to come into your body, your higher self can actually guide you so that you don't get into situations that would require the fear response. Okay, so that's the part of the evolution that you're in right now. And so the tapping is just allowing your basic self to be able to take control of your consciousness without it being controlled by fear. Do you see the difference?
I do. And that,
so
that
fear can be,
sense.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, I kind of get upset sometimes when a lot of success methodology is just do a positive affirmation and just, you know, chant it until that's all you hear when it kind of, you know, your basic self is going, well, what about all this other data I have? This is really good, valuable stuff that we've got here, you know. So we want to make friends. Yeah, we want to be as a team. And that fear actually can give us a lot of data of what's going on in our subconscious mind and how to bring that to have our back, you know. So, well done on working with the tapping and bringing that to your evolution.
Well, I have to say, once I kind of gave in and went, okay, fine, I'm going to get out of the middle of the street and do something about this, I'm absolutely fascinated with it. And, you know, I make sure that I do it every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And I have to say, I find it calming, but I also find that it is allowing me to break through some of my procrastination, which is really why I wanted to do it. And I have to be honest with you, Kelly, a lot of people look at the work I produce and the stuff that I do on a daily basis, and they're going, you procrastinate? They don't believe me. Trust me, I am a world-class procrastinator. I have a degree in it. So nobody knows that but me, and now
I think you and
audience.
Me both.
But, I mean, I think we all do. It's just a matter of going, okay, I can deal with this. Now how do I deal with it? And that's where I'm at right now. And to be honest with you, I'm finding through this kind of voyage, through this self-discovery about my procrastination, is that I'm finding that some things, you know, that I've got to do this, it's on my list, why haven't I done this? I'm finding that I don't want to do it. I never want to do it. It shouldn't be on my list. So that's been eye-opening. It's like I'm able to clear through, you know, I can take that list and whittle it down. It's like, Denise, this really is not in your wheelhouse, or better yet, it really doesn't interest you. Yeah, you maybe should add it to, you know, your list of services for your clients. Do you want to? No. So I don't. You know, I'm able to just kind of whittle it back, and that makes me feel better because then I have the energy to concentrate on the things that I really don't want to procrastinate on.
Well, yeah, part of life is joy.
Yeah, a good part of it.
Yeah, it's part of it.
I'd rather have that every day instead of stress.
Right, right. And that's where the conscious self, you know, the conscious self has no emotions. And so it just sees outcomes and the accolades of the outcomes. And the basic self is the one that feels the experience and has the emotions. And so paying attention to that, you know, is this really going to give me joy? And granted, there's sometimes things we just got to get done just because we just got to get them done. But yeah, if we can recenter our life towards things that are giving us joy, then we go through it and we are actually energized by the activity. We're not meant to crash in bed every night, you know?
No.
That's a whole another topic, isn't it?
Sleep, well, and that's another thing. Sleep is not easy for me. It's not native to me. It's not natural to me. I don't have insomnia. I just don't like to sleep. I never have. I've never... You know, I'm one of those people say I'll sleep when I'm dead. I catnap. I just getting into bed, laying down, and sleeping for 8 hours is like dying to me. I just don't do it. But do you find that with a lot of kind of high-functioning entrepreneurs that sleep is it important to them, or is it something that they just do because their body says they have to do it? It's an odd question, I know, but the reason
it
I'm
depends,
asking is
really.
I find a lot of people like me who are introverted and who are high-functioning workaholics, we don't sleep a whole lot. I think we can't
Shut
that monkey brain down. That's my theory.
Yeah. Yeah, part of it is that one of the keys of the consciousness training that I do is that your minds actually take the form of a triangle, with the higher mind being at the top of the triangle, the conscious self at the lower right corner, and the basic self at the lower left corner. So they're like a circuit. You know, a circuitry. And so connections, I want you to think of it like we're talking on a phone line right now. So those of you who are interested in telecommunications, you know what a T1 line is. And like a T1 line would be the line that carries in all of the internet to like a sky rise, you know, skyscraper building, right? Well, these T1 lines, you have T1 lines between all of your three minds, but remember how I said we're only using 10%? So let's say instead of the T1 of 1,000 connections, you're only using, say, 10 of them. So you're not getting all of the resources that are really enabled in your system to come to your aid, if you will. So part of the training I do is to open up those other lines so that your system is working at a higher capacity. So just imagine for you, you know, if you like the times that you've had that capacity show where you took something that maybe took 2 hours and you did it in 20 minutes, that's an example of when your lines are open, those communication pathways are open. And that's one of the services that I do is help open those pathways for people so that they, one, they can find out what that feels like, and then two, they can start to make it their baseline. And there's kind of a universal rule that, you know, if you don't use something, if you don't necessarily need it, then it goes dormant.
Like an appendix.
It's like your higher self says, yeah, you're not using it. Then until I won't give you more until you use it. And so I think some of what you're doing is rather than being more efficient, you're spreading it out through time, so you're not sleeping. Whereas actually when you sleep, you can get a lot of problem solving done and a lot of restoration, so things could actually go faster for you, you know, in daytime. That could be. Another thing is that you actually may have, your basic self may have fear of what your higher self would ask of you. The higher self is kind of like a parent. Yeah. And there's this universal belief.
Something or another.
Yeah, that our higher self is going to. Yeah, is going to demand something of us that we're not going to want to do or we're not going to like. Well, your higher self is actually part of your identity. It's never going to, it loves you, and it's never going to ask you to do anything that would ever cause suffering or whatever. Well, that little basic self, the part of you that's not wanting to sleep, thinks, well, the conscious self was so angry at me, maybe the higher self would be even worse, you know?
This is what a little brat I am. I think I'm actually thumbing my nose at my higher self going, you're not the boss of me. Trust me. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, I was such a rebel too. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I cannot. Yeah, I will get in my car and argue with my GPS. I get lost every single time. She is not the boss of me. That's just all there is to it. And I have no sense of direction, so it's always an interesting journey to go from here to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. We are running out of time. We've only got about 4 minutes.
Oh,
can
gosh.
You give me? I know. It's been a fast, fast conversation, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. Can you give us some examples of how you've worked with people? Because I know you coach people. Can you give us some kind of like a quick case study, perhaps?
Yeah. The initial alignment session, which is one of the key services that I provide for people, is really we get your system of consciousness cleared and operating at that 100% level. And so I'll have people who have, like what you said, insomnia problems, or they may have chronic physiological problems that just don't fix. And so essentially we clean up those pipelines. And so then your higher self can actually give to you the necessary healing, the necessary guidance, the necessary energy for like your body to finally heal, or your conscious mind to finally see the problem that you are facing so that you can break through in your business. Or it could be like what you said, the end of procrastination. Suddenly you feel like all green lights were all pointed in the same direction. Why did I think this was a problem? And off you go. So those sessions you can find at my website, kellyeli.com, and then just go under one-on-one mentoring. And there's also a free giveaway on the map of the three selves, which anybody can download. And then I also have a little three-part e-course where I describe three of these universal obstacles that we'll all face because we don't quite understand our system of consciousness. But once you understand it, those obstacles don't have to be a problem for you in any challenge or any place that you might be trying to move forward with your goals.
Great. Now, when people first come to you, are you finding that there's any kind of common denominator that, you know, is there any maybe one, two, or three top problems that people are coming to you with?
Usually they're finding that they're spinning their wheels. You know, they just can't get traction. I think that's one of the big things. And it could be traction with finance. It could be traction with a health issue that just won't resolve itself. Or, you know, sometimes it can be, a relationship issue. Those are kind of the three things that really require energy. And so if the system's running low on energy, then that's when you're going to see your system's just going to stop.
And I would think
but I work with a lot of people like you.
Yeah. I'm thinking if you're having one of those problems, you have three would be my guess, but I don't know.
It can be. But usually somebody will have one burning issue, and as we get the system ready, the burning issue resolves, and then other things resolve at the same time because it's just a matter of flow.
Now, don't you have some kind of an event going on? I know you have been doing an awful lot of work on your website, and you've got something going on. I can't remember what it is, so I'm so sorry. But I know you've got...
Yeah, I got an event I'm doing next week. I also people who work with me over time, we do a lot more, and we go into the Tree of Life consciousness, which is a higher level consciousness. And so I'm teaching people about how to open up their spiritual vault, which is all about accessing even more resources of more life, more freedom, more creativity. And when we have those things, those three things flowing in our system, we really enjoy prosperity in all ways. And so I'm doing an event in Denver next Friday and Saturday. The event's closed right now, but I'll offer it again in the future. But open your vault, and it's really about accessing that higher consciousness, having that in the body, and then starting to see that bring fruit in your life in all sorts of ways.
Kelly, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, and I thank you for trying to help me. Because I know I was kind of tossing some things out at you, going, okay, she can help me with this. And you did, actually. I mean, you gave me, and that's not fair, I'm sorry. But we're here to ask questions, and I guess I'm the best case study for that. So thank you very, very much. Well, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Kelly Eli, and I will see you next week. Kelly, one more time, tell people where they can find you.
KellyEli.com, that's KelleEli.com.
Thank you so much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.